Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the drug trust right after this. You know, when you're making $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then you pay a 17% income tax on that $50,000 again. Now that's another $8,500. So you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% that's being advertised. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's educational, it's educational, it's educational. And best of all, it's free. Tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. You can download that free general law CD package right off our website at georgegordon.com. Hey, we're talking about the drug trust here. Now, there are 18 of these drug manufacturers around the world, and Eustace Mullins goes through each one of them and identifies their board of directors, their interlocking banking connections, their connections with the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. I won't bore you to tears by going through each one of you, or each one of them, and giving you all these names. You can do that for yourself when you get a copy of the book. Not only are these people the who's who of the drug industry, they're also the who's who of politics, the Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. They are the who's who of the diplomatic service, diplomatic corps, presidents, senators, representatives. They're the movers and shakers. And in the Bible, they're called the princes of Israel. The people that you and I and everybody else look up to. They are our leaders. They are the movers and shakers. They're the people like Barack Obama, who's out on the stump right now as I speak, touting the new new health care program. And it's the president and others that are touting global warming. And it's the president and others that are touting cap and trade. Now, these programs are not things that you and I thought up and said, gee, let's write a letter to our representative or our senator and have him put in a cap-and-trade program. These programs are 1,000, 1,500 pages, like the Patriot Act and Homeland Security, cap-and-trade, the National Health Care Bill. These are put together by the movers and shakers. They're put together by the boards of directors, by the Illuminists, by the Bank of International Settlements. You know, it's put together by the people that want these programs because it makes them a lot of money. It gives them a lot of power. It gives them a lot of control over people like you and me. That's what they want, and that's what they're moving for. Now, they need our consent. they need us to go along with it. After all, we're the voters. So they come to us with propaganda, and they've got a sales pitch. And they've been perfecting their sales pitch, and it works like a shot. The program that you see working in the world today is a proven winner. It makes trillions of dollars in profits, billions and billions and millions and now trillions and trillions of dollars for banks, defense industry. And there's a lot of fallout that comes from it. The National Teachers Association, the National Education Association, the NEA, they're out touting this program, the New World Order. They have been for the last 50, 75 years because they get paid for that. They get a payoff. The AFL-CIO, hey, those guys are getting paid for this. So the leadership of the AFL-CIO, they come to us, the union workers, and they say, hey, we're getting you raises. Hey, we're getting you national health care insurance. Hey, we're working for you. That's a lie. They're not working for us, the Joe Sixpacks. They're working for the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. That's where the money's coming from. And you and I are the guys that pay for all of this. And we pay for it with more than just our dollars. We pay for it in the inconvenience and that comes from the highway patrolman giving us tickets because we're not wearing our seat belts or something else. And it also comes in the form of heavy-duty payments that we pay for the prescription drugs that we're using to solve the problems that we've created with our heart attacks and strokes and Alzheimer's disease and so on. See, every time we get a disease, this gives the pharmaceutical industry another product to sell. Every time they can copyright some new disease like AIDS, hey, it's money in the bank. Now, our creator told us a little different story. He said, hey, listen, why don't you opt for your immune system and good health? And we said, hell no. We want to smoke and drink, burn the candle at both ends, chase wild women, have a good time. Well, okay. And now that we've done that, now we come down with AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, heart attack, cancer, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, and so on. And, yeah, smoking is fun, drinking is fun, and chasing wild women is great. If God made anything better than a woman, he kept it for himself. And I don't deny it. But there are limitations out here, boys and girls, in the physical world. And we have exceeded those limitations to such a degree that it causes a lot of pain, anguish, and suffering. Now along comes the pharmaceutical industry and the doctors, and they say, hey, listen, want a little morphine, take that pain away? And the answer is, well, hell yeah. Okay, well, you got to pay for that. It ain't cheap. So, you know, they'll give us these drugs, but I showed you in the first program here in the series that there's a god-awful big profit margin here that's being made by the pharmaceutical industry. Now, there's another industry out here called the chemical industry. See, pharmaceuticals, that's a part of the chemical industry, but then there's the chemical industry like DuPont, Orthogro, and so on. God, those guys make a ton of money, too. And then the defense industry comes into this. And then the politicians come into the act. And there's quite a little story that goes along with that. Now, another important world chemical firm is called Unilever. It was founded in 1894, and it's now headed by Lord Hunt of Tamworth, who held many important government positions from 1946 to 1973. And he's also chairman of the Tablet Publishing Company, chairman of the top secret Ditchley Foundation, which is a conduit for instructions between the governments of the United States and England. He's the chairman of the Banque Nationale of Paris and director of Prudential Corporation and the IBM Company. Vice chairman of Unilever is Kenneth Durham, who is chairman of Woolworth Holdings, Morgan Grenfell Holdings, United Technologies, Chase Manhattan Bank, Air Products and Chemicals, advisor to the New York Stock Exchange, Director of British Aerospace and President of the Center for World Development and the Lever Home Trust. Unilever owns Lever Brothers in the United States. It bought Anderson Clayton Company in 1986, Thomas Lipton Company, and Lawry's Foods. The drug firms exercise a potent force in Washington through their lobbying activities. The chief lobbyist for the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association is Washington's highest-powered lobbyist. His name is Lloyd Cutler. Cutler's mother was Dorothy Glasser. His sister Laurel married Stan Bernstein. She is now vice president of the public relations firm and advertising giant McCann Erickson. Cutler has been a partner of the Washington law firm William Cutler and Wilmer Cutler and Pickering since 1962, and he was a counsel to the president from 1979 to 81, and is a trustee of the prestigious Brookings Institution, a director of Kaiser Industries and American Cinemed. Cutler was with the Lend-Lease Administration, served as senior consultant to the Presidential Commission on Strategic Forces in 1983, U.S. Group Permanent Court of Arbitration at The Hague in 1984, and is a director of the Yale Development Board of Foreign Policy Association and the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of the exclusive club Bucks in London and Lyford K in Nassau. He writes for the CFR magazine, Foreign Affairs. In an article to form a government, he complains that the structure of our Constitution prevents us from doing significantly better. He urges that we should correct this structural fault. These monopolists and their highly paid Washington lobbyists often find that the Constitution is a barrier to their plans. They cannot wait to get rid of it, because it's the only protection that the citizens of the United States have left. Hospital combines, as well as the drug firms, have become big business, and they show close interlocking with major drug companies. Baxter Travonol, with $1.5 billion in sales per year, interlocks with American Hospital Supply Corporation, which is a $2.3 billion a year hospital operation. Both firms have the same chairman, Carl D. Bays. He is a director of Standard Oil of Indiana, the omnipresent Rockefeller connection. Bays is also a director of Northern Trust, Delta Airlines, IC Industries, Amoco, and trustee of Duke, Northwestern University, and the Lake Forest Hospital. He's the president of American Hospital Supply. Is Harold D. Bernthal, who is also director of Buckyars Erie, or Bisiris Erie Company, Butler Manufacturing, Bliss and Lachlan Industries, and trustee of Northwestern University and Northwestern University Hospital. Directors of American Hospital Supply are Blaine J. Yerington, Executive Vice President of Standard Oil of Indiana, Director of the Continental Illinois Bank, and the trustee of the Field Museum of Natural History. Yerington is also a director of Baxter Travonol. Other directors of American Hospital Supply are Harrington Drake, chairman of Colgate University, director of Corinthian Broadcasting System, Irving Bank, Irving Trust, Fred Turner, chairman of McDonald's, Charles S. Munson, Jr., chairman of Air Reduction Corporation, Guarantee Trust, Cuban Distilling Company, National Carbide, Canada Dry, Reinsurance Corporation of New York, North British and Mercantile Insurance Company of London, trustee of the Taft School and Presbyterian Hospital. He was in the Chemical Warfare Service and served on the Army and Navy Munitions Board. Also on the board of Baxter Travenol was William Wood Prince, a Chicago tycoon, president of F.H. Prince Company, director of Gaylord Freeman, director of Atlantic Richfield, and trustee of the Aspen Institute of Humanistic Studies and trustee of Northwestern University. Now again, notice the interlocking connections that these people have. Each one of these people you probably have never heard of, but these are the movers and the shakers behind the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. And notice that this new constitution that's been promoted over the last 20 years, these attacks on our constitution and our constitutional rights, these are being orchestrated. The constitution is indeed a barrier to these monopolists. It's a thorn in their side, and they've been working hard to dismember it, just like the Patriot Act and Homeland Security. These are all inroads against your liberties and mine that we've grown up with and that we've all enjoyed here in America and in England. But in your country, whether it's England or France or Germany, these attacks on these constitutional processes over here leading to this world government. When we get this world government, it will be a dictatorship. And it will be run by these people. How many people are there? Probably in the entire world. If you took all of them together, they wouldn't total 1 million people. If you take a look at the diplomatic service around the world, there's about 28,000 of these ambassadors from 209 countries, and they exchange ambassadors back and forth around the world. So there's 28,000. And how many presidents are there? Well, there's 209. And then how many cabinets are there? Well, there's 209 cabinets of 15 people each. And then how many parliaments are there? How many, you know, there's a parliament in Italy. There's a parliament, you know, there's a few thousand people in these parliamentary positions. Then how many chairmen of the boards of these multinational corporations? Well, on the New York Stock Exchange, I think they've got about 9,000 companies listed. Then how many boards of directors are there? See where we're going with this? Now, once you get past the boards of directors and the CEOs of these multinational corporations, or indeed just maybe national corporations, now you're starting to talk with the minions. These may be members of the local Masonic lodge. They may be insurance brokers, and they may be private businessmen that go along with the New World Order plan because it benefits them financially. But the boards of directors are about the lowest level, and these interlocking bank boards and these interlocking corporate boards of directors, these are the top echelons, the CEOs, the politicians, and so on. These are the people that are movers and shakers of the New World Order. And they've got an agenda, and their agenda calls for the elimination of 90% of the people on planet Earth. And then they've written extensively about their plans and how they want to implement these plans. And over the next 50 years, they want to drop the Earth's population from 7 billion people to 500 million. So that means that about 6.5 billion people have to die over the next 50 years to achieve that objective. Now, it just so happens that Bible prophecy and the creator of the universe have a very similar objective. God intends to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. And so does the Club of Rome, so do the interlocking boards of directors. They've all got the same program in mind. And you're sitting here saying, well, but how's that going to affect me? Well, 50 years from now, depending upon how old you are, of course, you probably aren't going to be here. Now, I'm going to probably, I hope, die of old age, but if I'm not lucky and die of old age, I may die from one of these diseases that's being perpetrated upon us. Or I may die from Alzheimer's disease or some other man-made iatrogenic disease injected into me by my doctor. Or I may end up dead from one of these pollutant factors. And all the while that this is going on, the chemical companies are making money off of me. I mean, this is a crime of monumental proportions, but it's the perfect crime. I mean, it's the perfect murder. I pointed out Hoffman LaRoche in the last program. They killed 20 people with one of their drugs, and they paid them all. They got sued, and they paid them all. It's just a cost of doing business. And when you have 50,000 people that die from a drug, it's no big deal, because then the government comes in and bars you from suing this company. Now, hospital combines, as well as the drug firms, have become big business. Now, another giant hospital holding company, American Medical International of Beverly Hills, California, has seen its revenues climb from a mere $500 million a year ago to $2.66 billion in 5 years. It now has 40,000 employees. The chairman is Royce Diner. President is Walter Weissman. Group vice president is Jerome Weissman. Directors include Henry Rosofsky, born in Danzig, Germany. He's been a director of the American Jewish Congress since 1975. Rosofsky was educated at Hebrew University College of Jerusalem and Yeshiva University. He has been a professor at Harvard since 1965. Rosofsky is a member of the Harvard Corporation, director of Corning Glass, and Payne Weber Investment Bankers. Also director of AMI is Bernard Shriver, born in Bremen, Germany. As a general in the United States Air Force, Shriver was commander of the ICBM program from 54 to 59, Air Force Strategic Command from 59 to 66. He is now chairman of a contracting firm doing much government business in Washington. Shriver McGee since 1971. Shriver is also a director of Control Data, which operates other and under extensive Medicare and other governmental contracts, director of defense contractor Emerson Electric, and transacts much of his business on the links of the exclusive Burning Tree Country Club, the historic haunt of defense contractors since President Eisenhower made it his favorite place of recreation. Rocco Cicilano is also a director of AMI. He was with the National Labor Relations Board from 1953 to 57, special assistant to President Eisenhower from 57 to 59, undersecretary of commerce from 69 to 71, chairman of Tycor from 71 to 84, a leading California title insurance firm, which is now a subsidiary of Southern Pacific Corporation. Siciliano was succeeded as chairman of his firm by Harold Grennan. Former chairman of ITT, Siciliano is of counsel for the Washington lobbying firm Jones Day, Rivas and Pogue, and he's also a director of the giant J. Paul Getty Trust and the Johns Hopkins University School of International Studies, which was founded by Owen Lattimore, named by Senator Joe McCarthy as a leading communist influence in the United States. Also director of AMI is S. Jerome Tamkin, a prominent Los Angeles stockbroker, head of Tamkin Securities and Tamkin Consulting Company. You'll notice here that there are a number of communists. Now, there was a senator named Joe McCarthy, who is the author of what we call McCarthyism today. Well, Joe McCarthy was looking for these communists in the government. He was one of those representatives, in this case a senator from Minnesota. And he was an ex-Marine from World War II, and he was a patriot. And so he got after the communists. And so as time progressed along, and he got in over his head, then the Senate turned against him, and they kicked him out, and they branded him as an extremist. Same thing happened with Barry Goldwater, ran for president in 1964, branded as an extremist. Senator Kennedy became president of the United States. And he became an extremist, but by now he was president of the United States, and so they assassinated him. And then his brother Robert, they assassinated him. So this conspiracy, this has been going on, you know, for thousands of years. This is directed by Satan himself. But now we're at the end of the age. Now we're at the point where we're expecting the Great Tribulation. We're getting down to where God himself is now starting to intervene. We're beginning to see these prophecies of the Great Tribulation coming to the fore. I'm not here to stop it. I'm not here to get you to vote for this guy or that guy, and maybe we can do this or that, or we can affect some governmental policy. That isn't going to happen. But you and I, the little guys down here, as I depicted at the bottom of the pond, I call myself one of the bottom feeders. The guy is up here at the top. You don't need to be concerned about Al Gore. He's taking care of himself. He's been taken care of nicely. And there's a little trickle down from, you know, the crumbs that fall off his table. Those of us down here at the bottom, you know, might be able to save ourselves out of this. The Illuminists all intend to survive it. But we're on the verge now of nuclear bomb war. We're on the verge of great disease pandemics that will be worldwide in scope, killing hundreds of millions and maybe even billions of people. If we look at Revelation 6, it looks like 1/4 of humanity will be eradicated by disease. Well, you know, if there's 8 billion people when this thing transpires, that'd kill about 2. If there's 6 billion, that'd take care of 1.5, wouldn't it? There are the big events of biblical proportions that are in the wings about to transpire. And little guys like us need to have a running start. Somebody needs to tell us, hey, wait a minute, here's what these guys are doing, here's what they're up to, so that we can get the hell off the railroad tracks. You know, this train's coming through, and they got us lined up on the tracks. My suggestion is we need to get off the tracks. Now, the history of the pharmaceutical drug business has always been a chronicle of fraud, of preying on the fears of the uneducated and the gullible, and taking advantage of the universal fears of the illnesses and death that we're all fearful of. The granddaddy of all nostrums is Goddard's Drops, a bone distillate which was sold as a cure for gout in England in 1673. In 1711, Tuscarora rice was sold there as a cure for consumption. And during some 4,000 years of the practice of pharmaceutical prescriptions, many cures have been found to be worse than the disease. William Shakespeare warned in Physic, there is poison. Dr. R.R. Drakey, well-known blood specialist in Atlanta, Georgia, also issued a warning that the following notable drugs may poison the marrow in your bones, decrease the production of white blood cells, may cause death, and should be taken as medicine only with specific instruction from a well-known doctor. It's a diet drug. I can't pronounce it. It's amidopyrene, amidopyrene. And then there's a second word, dinitrophenol, dinitrophenol, novaldine, and there's a number of others here. I won't try to pronounce them. Physicians have warned that no acetanilid is safe because all coal tar derivatives are powerful heart depressants. Rohrer Pharmaceuticals makes Ascriptin, and television advertisements have been urging men to take an aspirin or aspirin product daily to protect their heart. The attorneys general of Texas and New York have requested drug firms to halt the claim that aspirin may prevent heart attacks in men. It also reduces fever and makes it difficult for a physician to correctly diagnose pneumonia. Aspirin is a dangerous chemical. White willow bark, which is the natural drug or medicine or herb for us, produced by God himself, has been replaced with this coal tar derivative called aspirin, which makes it a drug, which makes it witchcraft. Now, the pharmaceutical companies know this. And it kills people. But as I pointed out in the last program, hell, it's just business. It's kind of like the army, you know. The general orders the troops into the field to do thus and such and so and so. It's nothing personal. He's not trying to get your kid killed, but there are going to be some kids get killed. And when it's your kid, well, we're sorry as hell that your kid died. And if it hadn't been your kid, it would have been somebody else's kid, and we'd just be sorry as hell that that other person's kid died. That's a part and parcel with the program. War is inherently dangerous. Well, pharmaceutical drugs are inherently dangerous. It doesn't kill everybody, but it kills a lot of them. Now, the war in Iraq didn't kill all the soldiers. It only killed 5,000 of them. And all the drugs that you people are taking isn't going to kill all of you. It's only going to kill a few thousand of you. So there you are. You know, if you think that drugs are the way to go, well, stay with the program. Hell, you're already in it, and it's well established. It's not going to change anytime soon. But if you're sitting there saying, well, gee, I didn't know this, and maybe there's a better way, why don't you look at that? Go into any health food store and pick up a book on health, such as one written by Robert Mendelson. I always liked him. He's pretty funny. Start on a note of laughter. Mendelson wrote a number of books. He was a doctor himself. And when you get through with Mendelson's books, then you can graduate up. This is a good one here. This is called Murder by Injection. Murder by Injection. Eustace Mullins, The Story of the Medical Conspiracy Against America. You can get a copy of it now from BraveNewBookstore.com. And it will be a big step forward for you, one of the little guys, one of the bottom feeders, to getting off drugs, getting onto food, and saving your life. And that's what the bottom line is. Let me give you the mid-course reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School and asking for it. It's number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can get that off of our website at georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com. Just go to our archives page and download it. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors and publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a chapter 9, The Drug Trust, in a book called Murder by Injection. It's the story of the medical conspiracy against America. It's written by Eustace Mullins. I would recommend that you go to Brave New Bookstore. There's a couple of guys down there that run that. It's a real public service, bravenewbookstore.com. And the fellows that run it down there do it as a public service. They're not getting rich. The guy that started it made some money in the stock market. And he took a look around and he said, you know, what I see going on around me makes me sick. And I want to do something about it. So he opened a store. He opened a bookstore. He said, you know, people need to be educated. They need to have information. And this book that I'm quoting from here, written by Eustace Mullins, has been censored. It's not on the New York Times bestseller list. It was censored in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from their library system, and you can rest assured in every library system controlled by government, controlled by the media, controlled by big business, that it's, in fact, when I looked at who published this, this isn't published by Bantam Books. It's published by the National Council for Medical Research, Post Office Box 1105 in Staunton, Virginia. Now, you know what that means? That means this guy had to publish this book himself. And as a result of that, it's got a very low circulation. I've got another book here called The Poison Needle. They put out 10,000 of them back in 1974 by Eleanor McBean, The Poison Needle. It's a dynamite book. Probably can't get it. If there's anybody that can get it for you, it's going to be these boys down here at the Brave New Bookstore. It's called The Poisoned Needle by Eleanor McBean, published in 1974. That's the Bible on vaccinations and the history behind it and the documentation. I reported on vaccinations here recently. I'm not going to belabor the issue, but this book is called The Poison Needle, Eleanor McBean, the second book here, Murder by Injection, The Story of the Medical Conspiracy Against America by Eustace Mullins. Now, you can go to bravenewbookstore.com or you can call them direct at 512-480-2503. Again, that's 512-480-2503. And they're located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B in Austin, Texas. The zip code 78705. Once more, that's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Tell them you want a copy of The Poison Needle while you're at it. See if they got that or if they can get it. That'd be a dynamite book for you. Now, the history of the pharmaceutical drug business has always been a chronicle of fraud. The William S. Merrill Company merged with Vic Chemical, marketed thalidomide as a tranquilizer of the future. It guaranteed control of unpleasant symptoms during pregnancy. Unfortunately, the children of mothers who took it were born without arms or legs. Some had flippers for arms. 60 Minutes recently presented a 25-year update on English victims of thalidomide, carefully avoiding any treatment of American victims. The program showed the astounding courage of the victims, who tried to carry on daily life while the reporters seemed hard put to keep from bursting into laughter at the strange beings who rolled around like human eggs, maneuvering frantically to stay right side up. CBS also avoided any mention of the names of the manufacturers or the distributors of thalidomide, although a typical operation of their brand of adversary journalism would have been to thrust a microphone into the face of the firm's chairman and demand to know why they didn't realize this was a dangerous drug. You see, CBS depends heavily on advertising revenues from the pharmaceutical manufacturers, and they're not about to offend their best customers. Furthermore, you can rest assured that CBS is one of the Rockefeller companies. William S. Merrill also produced MER-29, which was advertised as breakthrough in anti-cholesterol drugs. It was soon found that MER-29 caused dermatitis, changing color of hair, loss of sex drive, and a condition known as alligator skin. In 1949, Park Davis chloromycetin was hailed as a new wonder drug. Several doctors were persuaded to give it to their own children, who then died of leukemia. 75% of the cases of aplastic anemia resulting from the administration of chloromycetin were fatal. Dr. H.A. Hooks of El Paso lost his 7.5-year-old son after he had been assured by a Park Davis representative that the drug was safe. In December of 1963, a Washington grand jury indicted Richard Morrell and Chairman William S. Morrell for falsifying data to the FDA on Merck 29. They filed a no-contest plea, and on June 4, 1964, they were fined the maximum fine, $80,000. Park Davis' defense counsel was a former federal judge from 1957 to 60. His name was Lawrence Walsh, who is now much in the news as the White Knight who is prosecuting political figures on vague charges of malfeasance. Now, let's pause here for a minute and let's think about this. Park Davis manufactures a drug. They represent it to the doctors and others, and they say it's safe. Same thing with thalidomide. Well, if they had tested this thalidomide on a test group of pregnant women, wouldn't they have then found that thalidomide caused these birth defects? If the Food and Drug Administration had tested it, wouldn't they have found that? I mean, look, wait a minute. Hang on here a second. If you can give it to the general public and 5 years later you can find out that thalidomide causes birth defects, couldn't you do that in a smaller group of people before you put it into the general population first? I know it's a wild new concept called testing the product. But, you know, those of us in the business world have to do that. You know, when we make automobiles, we have test tracks and we test those automobiles because, you see, automobile companies can be sued for defective products. It's called product liability insurance. That's what we buy, product liability insurance. Pharmaceutical companies, don't you think they should test those drugs before they put them out into the general public? They claim to, but they don't. As you just saw here, there's an example. Now, this book cites many, many of these examples. There was a heart remedy, killed 50,000 people. And they get the same treatment. They get fined $80,000 or something on that order. They never go to prison. They never go to jail. But now watch this. Take a naturopath or take a midwife. And let's suppose that the midwife is attending to a woman and she has a stillbirth. They will prosecute that midwife. Here in this state, we had a lady who had a midwife and she had an abortion. It wasn't an abortion, it was a miscarriage, but we, in the cattle business, we call those abortions. Actually, that's the wrong term. It's a miscarriage in humans. And the state of Missouri prosecuted the midwife and prosecuted the woman for having the baby at home and using a midwife. Park Davis puts out a dangerous drug that kills a bunch of people and they're fined $80,000. Can you see a double standard here? Can you say hypocrisy, boys and girls? Can you say hypocrite? Now, that's the government touting allopathic medicine and drugs. And then the people who are the actual naturopaths and homeopathics and homeopathic physicians and midwives who kill far less people. I mean, there may be some that are incompetent and they kill a few. To give you an illustration here as to how this thing works, take illegal drugs in America. Remember a guy by the name of John Belushi? John Belushi, he was a comedian. He was on Saturday Night Live. Well, he bought some heroin somewhere, and he overdosed on it, and he died. And there was a guy that shot him up with it. I forgot how the deal came down exactly. I think they prosecuted him for giving him the drug. But see, this heroin is illegal. Do you know how many people every year are killed by these illegal drugs? And it's a tragedy, and I don't deny it, but the number is 6,000. So write that down. Write down 6,000. Can you do that, boys and girls? 6,000 people every year die from these illegal drugs. We call them recreational drugs. And that's bad, and it's not good, and we ought to do something about that. Now, how many people every year are killed by legal drugs, the drugs that come from Park Davis, just like this story that we just saw here? The answer is 130,000. Now, this book here was written in 1988. From 1988 to 2008... That's 20 years, isn't it? Okay. Let's take 130,000 times 20 years. The doctors and pharmaceutical companies of America have killed 2.6 million people legally in the United States of America since this book was written. The doctors, that's what they admit to. The number's higher than that. That's what they admitted to. And President Clinton in 1998 said we need to do something about this. Nothing has been done about it. And he said that in 1998. Hell, that's 10 years ago. Bill Clinton was right. Something ought to be done about 2.6 million people being killed by pharmaceutical companies like Park Davis and Merck and Pfizer. Something should be done to correct that mistake. But don't you think that 2.6 million is a whole lot more than 6,000 a year times 20 years? Let's do 6,000 times 20 years. That killed 120,000 people. And that's bad. That's bad. And God, something ought to be done about that. And government is working, spending billions of dollars a year to stamp out illegal drugs. And God love them. They're working on that 120,000 a year. But don't you think that we ought to spend a few bucks and do something about the 2.6 million? So, let's just take 130,000, divide that by 6,000. Because the legal drug industry kills 22 times more people legally every year with no penalties. Well, I say no penalties. Here's the Park Davis company. They got fined $80,000. $80,000. My God, that's less than chump change. Less than chump change. $80,000. Hell, that wouldn't make up the petty cash fund at Park Davis. So I just thought I'd pass that on to you so that you could see the hypocrisy that goes on with the Food and Drug Administration and the drug czar and the war on drugs. There is no war on drugs. None. It's a figment. It's the cover story. The war on drugs is for the purposes of protecting Park Davis and to protect the people that killed 2.6 million people over the past 20 years and make sure that they don't go to prison and they don't have any ill effects that come from their legal drug trade. Now, after an oral contraceptive pill was found to cause severe reactions, the American Medical Association put great pressure on Dr. Roger Hedgeberg. He was the Assistant Secretary of the Health, Education, and Welfare Department, and the Secretary of Hugh Finch, claiming they were overemphasizing dangers. The warning on the pill was then cut from 600 words to only 96, much milder words. This warning was increased by Secretary Finch himself on April 7, 1970, to 120 words of warning, which was released personally by Finch. The pill was then found to cause fatal blood clotting, heart attack, and cancer. The behavior of the AMA in this instance contrasted strangely with its violent attacks for many years on quacks, who it protested were the real dangers to the public. Now, remember last week I did a program here on quacks. Remember that? So here's the AMA. They're out here prosecuting quacks. We got to protect the American public. At the very same time, they're out here telling the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare to cut down the warning on the oral contraceptive pill from 600 words to 96. Then the secretary moves it up to 120. Excuse me, boys and girls, but don't you think that a 600-word warning that nobody's going to read anyway? I mean, come on. Wake up. You people don't read those warning labels on your bottle of pills. You haven't, you don't, and you never will. But the fact that the AMA even wants that taken off shows you the hypocrisy of the American Medical Association, doesn't it? I mean, we're not talking rocket science here. Hoffman LaRoche, market an intravenous drug, Versed, Versed, which was linked to 40 deaths in 2 years by FDA studies. Richter's definitive work, Pills, Pesticides, and Profits, notes that a U.S. company, Vesicol, sold 3 million pounds of a pesticide called Phosvel, P-H-O-S-V-E-L, which had never been approved by the EPA. Vesicol exported it to 30 countries. It causes extensive damage to the nervous system. In Egypt, it killed 100 water buffalo and poisoned dozens of farmers. Vesicol is a subsidiary of Northwest Industries, a $3 billion a year operation in Chicago, whose chairman is longtime rail magnate Ben Hindman, a trustee of the University of Chicago and the First Chicago Corporation. Directors of Northwest Industries are James E. Devitt, director of Hart, Schaffner & Marks, president of Mutual of New York, director of Money. He is also a director of National Can. Other directors of Northwest are William B. Graham, chairman of Baxter Travonol Drug Company, also a trustee of the University of Chicago, director of John Deere Company, Field Enterprises, Bell & Howell, BorgWarner, National Council of U.S.-China Trade, Thomas S. Hyland, vice president of Standard & Poor's, Gaylord Freeman, director of Baxter Travonol and Atlantic Richfield, James F. Berry, chairman of BorgWarner, director of Abbott Laboratories, Time Incorporated, Hughes Tool Company, and Continental Illinois Bank. Now, there's the list of who's who that are affiliated with Hoffman LaRoche and this company called Vesicol, or the product called Vesicol. I mean, these people, kill and destroy property, and they'd never go to prison. They're never prosecuted. They're doing it all legally. It's all done through the Congress. It's all signed by the president. It's approved by the American Medical Association. Don't you think that you and I, the Joe Sixpacks and the Sally Housewives, ought to be just as protected as these criminals in the pharmaceutical industry? These criminals in government? Because they're criminals because they violate the law of God. You know, we got a law that says you shall do no murder. It's against the law to kill people. Not only are they killing people, hell, they know these drugs kill people. And then they keep them out in the marketplace until they just absolutely kill so many people that, well, we have to take it off the market. And then, like this one drug, you know, thalidomide, they've got it back on the market again. And now they got a warning label that says, don't give this to pregnant women. So when they first marketed it, they said, hey, this is for pregnant women, cause birth defects. Now they've got it out here and they say, well, it's a heart medicine. Hey, don't you think that these people ought to be prosecuted for their crimes in the same way that they prosecuted the quacks? Who are the quacks, anyway? Can you say quack? Boys and girls? Okay, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.